Today, I want to talk to you about this thought about thirst. Okay, just about the thought of thirst. You know, when you think of all the metaphors, that Jesus uses about who he is and what he came to do. Well, the one we're using in our series is light and darkness. But a couple of weeks ago we talked about that which was lost but is now found. That which is dead but is now alive again. And today it's thirst. There's something about the way you were made is that when you get thirsty, real thirsty, the alarm bells go off. And in your brain, that is all you can think about. All right? And so this is symbolism that Jesus is using between physical thirst and the thirst of a soul, if you will. The longings that we all have on the inside. And then Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this water, you're going to get thirsty again, which is the human condition. So Jesus just brings it up. Hey, if you get thirsty, everybody drinks this water, you'll get thirsty again. But then he says something incredible. He says, but whoever drinks the water that I give them, you won't ever be thirsty again. So that need will actually be quenched. Everyone was created. You were created to have a relationship with the God who created you. So there's a piece of you inside that can only be filled by a relationship with him. And when that is separated and when it goes unmet, it leaves you with a gnawing that I'm somehow missing out. And so what happens is that people go to things to fill that place, that thirst, what I call the inside thirst. And my goodness, people go to a myriad of things. Okay? They go to a myriad of things to try to bring some sort or sense of purpose to their lives. Right? To feel good, to feel complete, to feel whole. That's what he's saying. He says, the time's close. He says, look, look, is what he's saying. People are thirsty. They're everywhere. You just need the eyes to see. Look, look. We've talked over several weeks now. First week, we talked about things that were lost that needed to be found. Remember, we talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son with the prodigal son story. And we had you start praying for those in your life. And what does it mean? Obviously, I've gotten wonderful response. I know not everybody has been a part of doing that, but I would encourage you to. I mean, again, we're talking 45 seconds a day. To take just some time to pray for people in your life that you know are lost. And if God has revealed it to you that they are lost, that they need to know, they obviously don't know who Christ is, then that becomes something he's shown you, and that you are where you are in order to be a light. Remember, being a light is different than doing something. I've found the thought is that being a light is much more about being than doing. So when you take a look at this, and what I've heard from so many of you that have been praying for people is that it gives you an awareness of the things around you and the people around you. And as you pray for people, and again, what that looks like is just basically there's obviously an app. The church app has a place for you to put them electronically on your phone. If you just use a piece of paper, whatever it is, but put four to five names down. Basically, that you've just said, I'm going to pray for these people, ones that I think God has put on my heart to pray for. And that's all we want you to do now. You just pray, you know, Lord, I pray for Bob. And remember, Bob's not on my list, so you don't have to be thinking about it. And it has nothing to do with any Bob that's in the room, okay? It's just using a name, Bob, right? Lord, I pray for Bob today. Lord, I lift him to you. God, open his eyes. Use someone in his life. Use me, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, for let him to see and understand. You're going to understand that more today. Because today we're going to talk about the process. And what I want you to do is to keep praying for those, but I want you to see how it works. If you and I are to be the light, then what does that look like? Again, I've talked to you about this because it's really interesting to try to put all these things together and to explain them. In all of the different comparisons, or I know I use the word metaphor, but that's exactly what it is. All of the symbolisms, metaphors that were used, lost that is now found. Last week was thirst that's now quenched, right? Once was dead is now alive again. Today is going to be an agricultural comparison that he used about seed and soil. You'll see a little bit more about that in just a minute. But it all points towards the same thing. And you will see it. You will see it clearly today. I want you, today's purpose is I want you to see how it works. And within showing you how it works, you will be able to see your responsibility if you are a believer today. You can't help, though, if you're not a believer today, or you're not sure if you are, or even know what that means, then this will be very informative for you. But the purpose I have today is I really want to share with everyone who is a believer today so that you can understand the process and then your responsibility in it. Light, this series about light is about us being the light because we've been told that's what we are. And so what does that entail? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, today you're going to see the process, how it works. Jesus told the disciples, this is what it looks like. So very simply, we're just going to walk through a story that Jesus told. But I'm going to share with you a couple other things first, but I want you to see them. Take a look now, number one. Today is just the parable itself. Let's read the parable together. It says here, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. Really, it's a lake. In fact, the lake, when you talk about a lake, it's anywhere from 11 to 13 miles long, and it's anywhere from 5 to 6 miles wide. So, okay, it's a good-sized lake. It was very important and still is important over in Israel today. But Jesus came out, more than likely Capernaum, but if it was some other place around. But he came out, and great crowds gathered around to hear him speak. They'd heard about him. They've heard about the miracles. They perhaps wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to hear him teach, whatever. But he gets into a boat, and he goes off the shore. And if you've been there, I've been there several times, the Sea of Galilee, it has mountains around it. So it's really impressive. It's almost like when you get into the sea and push off, there's like a little amphitheater feel almost when Jesus would teach or would share with them, especially in this area. And so he would talk to them, and so a great crowd, he just went outside, great crowd was there, so he got in the boat and began to, but here's what Jesus said. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about you being there. You've heard about this Jesus guy. You don't know much about him, but you've heard that he can do miracles. So therefore, you said, I want to see for myself. And so you hear that he's going to be teaching, so you show up, and then this is what Jesus says. And see again how you would respond. This is just fun. It's fun to think about putting yourself there. So again, he's out now. He's beginning to teach. Let's take a look at the parable and read it now. And it says, the whole crowd stood on the beach. Now, beach is not a great, when you think, especially in Florida, it's not a beach. It's a lake shore. All right, just so you get it in your mind. All right, here we go. Continue to read. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower, okay, a farmer or a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched since they had no root, and they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, and then there's a little verse 9 that says, you know, I quote Jesus often. I say that as often as I can. Those of you that have ears, you need to hear this. You know, I like using that phrase. Because you, and this is where I get it from. This is where Jesus used it. Because I have spent a lot of time talking with people, and obviously people who have ears to hear are different than those that don't. Now, I'm not talking about physical hearing, because he explains himself in just a minute. But we'll talk about that in a minute, and I'll share with you a little bit more. But imagine you're on the shore, okay, the lake shore, and you're standing there, and this guy that you've heard all about, he stands up and starts saying, hey, listen, a sower went out to sow. You know, a planter went out and planted his seed, and he was throwing his seed around, right? And then some of the seed fell on the path, okay? And the birds came down and ate it up. Some seeds fell on the soil, the rocky soil. And basically the seed got down. It grew up quickly because it was topsoil, but when the sun came out, scorched it, and it fell away. And then others fell among the thorns, where there were a lot of weeds, and so a lot of competition. And so basically the thorns choked out the plant. But then some fell among the good, some good soil, and they produced different, different levels of productivity. You know, some 100, some 60, some 30. All right, you guys have a good day. God bless you. Is that not what he said? And you know, people are going to be shaking, you know, scratching their heads and going, did anybody get that? But he does end it up with, hey, if you have ears to hear, you need to hear this. And so he just is sharing this. But then he goes on, again, I want you to understand it. And this gives you a picture, because most of us are not from an agricultural background, and we're definitely, none of us are from an agricultural background that was at the time of Jesus. But imagine this room was a field. And usually different fields that they would plant crops in, you know, had paths around it where you took your wagons, where you walked, and the path was real hard. So this was a scene most of them understood. And the path was real hard, but when you go out to sow seed, it's not like they had machinery back then. You're throwing seed out everywhere, and that's the whole point of the parable, is that you're throwing it everywhere, and it falls everywhere. And it falls on the path, but the path is beaten down soil, and it's hard, and it just sits on the top, and it just becomes food for the birds. So they'd all seen it, all made sense. And then some, you know, they'd throw, and if you've ever been over to this area of the world, I have, is that there are a lot, it's one big rock. And it's not just like rocks, like you pick up a rock and throw, but there are sometimes big sections of rock. And after you've worked with the soil long enough and dug up a lot of these rocks, it makes for pretty good fertile ground. But what happens is that the wind blows the topsoil over the top of some of these rocks, and there's only about this much soil. So it blows over, and so the seed gets in there, and again, since it's topsoil, the seed responds quickly, you know, because there's a lot of topsoil, but it has no roots to get down for the moisture it needs. So when the sun hits it, it can't survive because it has no depth, and it withers away. Then some fell over, fall over in the fringe, where you really hadn't cultivated the soil well enough to get rid of everything, and so the thorns choke it out. But then there's some seed that falls, you know, in the good ground, and it produces, you know, different types of productivity. And so they understood this, but I just wanted you to get a feel of it, of what he's talking about. That's the parable, that's the story. If you have ears to hear, you need to hear this. But you know, this is interesting. You're going to find out not only the parable itself, but number two is the reason for the parable. Or if I even might rephrase, the reason for speaking in parables. Now, this may take you by surprise that Jesus would say this, but I want you to think about this, right? And he says over in verse 10, then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Almost like, why are you talking to them in riddles? Because you're telling the story, but you're not using the story to explain to them what you're wanting to teach them. Why, Jesus, why are you doing this? And then Jesus gives them an answer and says, listen, it's you. You're the one that's going to get the truth here. To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not been given. Now, that sounds strange. So the reason that he would share in parables was also to conceal truth from those who really didn't want to know. I find that amazing. But to those who want, that's why I use the phrase, if you have ears to hear. You know, I'm here to tell you, I have found, and when I'm doing what I'm doing, if God works in a person's heart and they're seeking him and they're running, it's incredible what will happen. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes I've been around some folks, it doesn't matter what happens, they're not going to. I mean, if God lifted the roof off and looked in and said, boo, there would be people that still wouldn't, right? So again, it's not about proof or not proof. It's about the, if you will, the state of a person's heart. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It says, but for to the one who has been, this is classic, for to the one who has, more is going to be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who doesn't have or has not, even what he has is going to be taken away. Well, that doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound fair, right, in our culture's vernacular. But what is he talking about? Well, I found this. I found that God gives truth to everyone. And that those who respond to his truth seek it. He gives them more. But to those that don't respond to the truth he's given them, he doesn't give you any more. And you actually lose what he gave to you. I found that interesting. I found that amazing that Jesus would actually say that. See, guys, this is not about me. This is about him and what he's sharing with us about how it works. The process. I want you to see it, right? He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. Now, I want you to see that Jesus is not on purpose keeping it from them. But he's allowing the darkness of their mind to keep them in darkness because they want to be in darkness. Let me tell you how I know that. Okay? Take a look at the rest of the passage. Let's read it. He goes on to quote Isaiah. Listen to this. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, so Isaiah said this was going to happen. You will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. We're not talking about just a child, you know, a small child in math class that can't get it. We're talking about someone who just will not understand, doesn't want to understand. Continue, you'll see what I mean. For these people's hearts have grown dull. What's he saying? He says these people not only don't understand, but they don't want to understand. They have no desire to understand. Interesting. Continue to read. And with their eyes, they can barely hear. Excuse me, with their ears, they can barely hear. And with their eyes, listen to this, they have closed them. So the reason that they're blind is not that they're blind, is that they've closed their eyes. So this is willing. We're not talking about that Jesus is just concealing it from people so they can't know. I'll get you in the end day. No, there's this picture that if you respond, you'll get more. This is why I make the statement often when I say, you know as much about God as you want to know. Because if you respond to the truth you've been given, he'll give you more. But if you don't respond to what he's given you, then even that's going to be taken away. And all you're left with is that, I don't get that. That didn't make any sense. That's not true. And on and on and on, as you hear people say. But you know as much about God as you want to know. This is an incredible thought. Lest they should see with their eyes, right? Lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart. Underline the phrase heart, because this will come into play in just a minute. Right? And turn, and I would heal them. In other words, Salvation, healing is just another sickness. It's just, again, more metaphors that Jesus uses, and sometimes there are so many people get mixed up in them and don't totally understand. Salvation for those who are in peril, saved. Again, it's just more pictures of saying the same thing. But here's the picture, is that he's willing. I would heal them. But you have to respond. I think that's interesting. I think that's amazing to think about. So he goes on to say, but your eyes are blessed, okay? For they see, and your ears are blessed, for they hear. So it just is interesting to me that he chose these to reveal a whole lot too. And he goes on to say something else that is remarkable. Look, for truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and were unable to see it. You see, so much in the Old Testament was veiled. They couldn't see everything. But they put their faith and trust in God and what they could see. But in the time of Christ, so much was revealed of what the prophets have been talking about for so long. And I want you to understand that Jesus is telling that, you know, these very common average Jewish folks, Jewish men who were his disciples, he was looking at them and saying, listen, I want you to know, this is a privilege for you to be able to see, because lots of people before you have longed to see it, but could not. Okay? And so this is what he's talking about. So I'm here to tell you today. So that's why you'll hear me say, if you have these ears to hear, you need to hear. That is, if you want to know, you're going to know. You need to see this. You need to hear this. Because I can't tell you how many, they just don't want to know. I can't tell you how many that somehow they think that, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Because they don't want to think that somehow, possibly, they may be responsible to who God is, for who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. So they'd rather just be ignorant and not know, somehow thinking that, well, I just didn't know. Jesus is saying, you're willingly ignorant because it's all there if you want to know. It's a tough thing to hear, but it is the truth. I've found very few people who truly, foundationally don't believe God, believe God exists. Handful through the years, but very few. Most know. You know, it doesn't take much for you to look around and see the everything that goes along with this. And we're going to talk more about that later, especially after the first year. We're going to do a series on some of those things. But I want you to see today is now, number three is the meaning of the parable. This is what I wanted to get to for you to see what Jesus was talking about. He revealed to these disciples the process of being a light, being a sower, right? Being one who gives living water to those who are thirsty, and those who help those who are lost to be found. It's what he's called us to do. It's who we're supposed to be. But what does that look like? I know people have interpreted it through the years, and they pigeonholed people into a certain type of being a light. But I want you to know that being a light is unique, is as unique as there are unique people in here. I can't tell you what being a light is for you because God has made you unique, and who knows what that might look like. But he's called us to be it if we're his. But the process of how it works is pretty neat, and I want you to see it. Jesus goes on to say, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so you're going to find out as you look down through here that the seed represents God's word. Okay? The seed represents God's word. Now, what's been amazing to me, and I've shared this with you before, but what's been amazing to me is the concept here of the seed. So what is Jesus trying to get at? He's trying to teach you something about how the process works. And this will help you with this illustration, okay? Somebody brought this to me, okay? All right, anybody know what that is? An acorn, very good. Some of you got good eyes. All right? That is an acorn. You can barely see it from most of where you are. And they've got, let me get my face out of the way. Right? But you know what's incredible about this? This is a seed. And everything that's needed inside to grow a massive oak tree is found within this. So Jesus uses that analogy to help you understand the process of how he works. So the seed represents God's word, the gospel among that. And you have a sower that goes out and takes this seed and throws it, right? Plants for that time. We have machines today, but you have to understand the context in which Jesus is using it. So the seed is thrown everywhere. But remember that the most important part of this process is the seed. It is what makes everything happen. Right? Because it's hard to believe. In fact, if you didn't realize it, it would be almost impossible to believe that this right here, okay, could turn into, can you put it up there? This here. But it is the truth. Everything that's right, that you see right there is found right here. And when this gets into a person's life, this can happen. I hear sometimes people say, well, I grew an oak tree back in the backyard. You really didn't. Okay? All you did was plant the seed, and the seed took care of the rest. Because God is packed within here incredible potential and ability. And so I find it interesting that you and I have been given a responsibility. But it's not to make the difference in people's lives. It's just simply to tell people, or to, if you will, plant the seed. And then God works and does the rest. It is an incredible thing to think about. So first of all, the most important part about what we're talking about, the process, is the seed itself. Right? The seed itself. So you have the seed. But number two is that you have the soils. He goes on to tell in the rest of this, as Jesus explains what this story, parable, means, he talks about soils, different types of soils. Now, the soils here, you'll see, represent people's hearts. That is who you are. So that when this seed, which is God's word, gets planted in your heart, remember that it has a lot to do with the soil that it's planted in. The seed is the seed. But how it grows and how it responds is dependent on the person's heart that puts their faith and trust in it. And I think it's interesting that he mentions four different soils, which is a representation of four different kinds of people's hearts that the seed gets planted. All right, the first one is the soil by the path. The hard soil. Let's read just a little bit about it when you think on it. Take a look. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, but remember that's willing misunderstanding. It's not that they just can't understand it, it's that they don't want to understand. Continue to read. Does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So you see the heart then becomes the soil. So you have this picture of the path, and the path is hard. And when the seed falls on top of hard soil, it just sits on top. And then the bird, which represents the evil one, comes and takes it away. And it doesn't get a chance to penetrate, doesn't get a chance to even come close to growing. But this is a person who's hard-hearted. Now, let me tell you something. People have asked me, Jeff, can people's hearts change as far as the picture? Absolutely, because I'm an example. I did not become a believer until I was 21, and I was pretty hard-hearted because I'd been in church most of my life. And I'd had a pretty bad experience in a church when a church that I attended wasn't being who it was supposed to be and wound up having a terrible testimony. on who the light of Christ really is. So I kind of became anti-church, anti-God for a while in my life, and I wouldn't even listen. I wouldn't even give you the chance to talk to me about it. I was this hard-hearted person. I know what it likes. I probably wasn't as hard as maybe some are, but I was pretty kind of hard about it. But remember this, can your hearts change? Obviously they can. That's what the scriptures talk about, breaking up fallow ground. You may not even know what that means, but hard ground that's been tramped on, you can actually get a spade into it. It's not fun and it's not easy. Can be painful, but you can break up this hard ground and get it soft again so that it will receive a seed and grow. It's interesting. But this hard-hearted person, and again, when I say hard-hearted, a lot of it has to do with being stepped on all the time. And a lot of it's willing hardness of, I don't want to have to agree that might be true, because then I might be responsible for it, whatever you want to call it. You know, as I've told you before, it's just been my belief, if you will. It's been my experience. That's a better word. Is that there are very few people that don't believe there is a God. There's a handful. I've come into contact with a handful, but very few. Most are just angry at God for him not being who he's supposed to be or what they want him to be, right? It's interesting how that happens. And you can hear the anger that comes out of their voices. At least most of them that I come into contact with don't even believe there is a God. It's not that they don't believe that there's a God, it's that they're real angry with him. Or they hate him. And they think the greatest way to get back at him is not even to believe he exists. Because I don't know about you, but I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. But it's not my life's goal to go around trying to prove to people the Easter Bunny doesn't exist. It's interesting to me. We'll talk more about that after the first of the year. We're going to kind of hit that really, really strong. There's so many questions out there about so many different things, right? So I'm looking forward to share with it. So, but that's the hard-hearted soil, and obviously this is what happens. Take a look at the next one, what I call the shallow soil. I've already told you a little bit about it. It's just a rock. Topsoil gets blown onto the top of it. And the only way to really to help this soil, it's fairly soft on the top, but if you go down very far, it's as hard as obviously a rock. And so what happens is it gets in. Well, let's read about it and just tells you. It says there, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution rises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Guys, this is the picture of those who hear God's word. That is the gospel of who Christ is, what he came to do. They put their faith and trust in it, and there's this surge of excitement, maybe even a little bit of growth, you know, in this, like in this picture. But it does not mean they're a believer. Because the true picture of a believer is bearing fruit. So you have this person, we've seen this, how many times have we seen this, is they get real excited, almost gung-ho, but it's built on emotion. And we all know about emotion. I warn you about emotion. Nothing wrong with emotion unless you let it drive the car, right? You ever been with an emotional driver? I mean, before you get out of the car, you're just like, oh, I'm never getting in the car with them again. But emotions don't drive everyone. Now, they make the situation fun. They make a scary situation really scary. But they don't drive the car very well. Well, what happens is somebody has an emotional response. They receive it with joy. And they grow up. And it's God this, God that. And they talk about it all the time for a while. But when the emotions run out, they go down the tubes. When you don't feel good anymore, when hard times come, they get disappointed. God, why would you let there be a hard time in my life? And they fall away. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen it? Does it mean that person's not a believer? In this particular case, no, they're not. But you can't judge another person's heart. And the soil is the heart, what we're talking about. But in this case, it's pretty obvious it's not. Because it goes on to the next one. It falls among the weeds, right? It falls among the weeds. And what happens is that it's not that the soil's not good, but that it just has too many loyalties, right? The two that are mentioned here, take a look at the passage. The two that are mentioned are some other things. Is one who hears the word, and what they do, they have the deceitfulness of riches, right? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, choke out what's growing, and it proves unfruitful. Therefore, not a believer. So you have somebody who understands the gospel, who even agrees with it, who perhaps even says, that's where I'm going to put my faith and trust. But when they look around their lives, there are too many other things that are more important and that become more important than God and his word. And then they just kind of revert back to the things that were more important to them in their life, right? But I think it's interesting that this second and third soil had an initial response to God's word and the gospel, and yet fell away. Again, guys, the reason we're talking to you about this is not so much, although I have done this before, I've talked about this as soils, as people's hearts, and which are you? Because then the last soil is the good soil, and notice that there are three types. There are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I think it has to do with maturity as someone gets stuff out of their life that become more productive. But however you look at it, is this thought, which, you know, but the thought for me today is not talk to you about which soil are you. But the thought for me today is for you to understand as a light or as a sower what your responsibility is and how the effect, the process happens. See, this is Jesus letting you in on how the process works and what your responsibilities are. I think that's important for you to know. Therefore, I ask again, you know, I won't even ask, let me just make a statement. This may help some of you too. God has not called you to be soil inspectors. Good. I just want you to think about it a second. Because what does the sower do? But where? Everywhere. Yeah, but it might fall on the path. So that's not your responsibility. You're just supposed to be a light. Let it shine. And if it shines on those who want darkness more than light, then so be it. But you can't keep it back from any. In fact, that is the thought here. Just let it. That's your responsibility. And remember this too. Don't take credit for when people come to know the Lord. Why? Because you had so little to do with it. Does that make sense? And I understand we use the concept, right? But it's this that does it. All you did was, and then when you have a big oak tree, you want to take the applause? It's like, come on, the seed is what does it. That is what does it. And so anyone who gets proud and arrogant is so missing out on what it means to be a light. I just want you to see it. It's just really interesting because it brings us to number four, okay? Number four is real. Obviously, it's real, real simple. It's, what's your duty? It's just to sow the seed, right? It's just to sow the seed, right? And so as you think about those things as hearts, I want you to also think about this particular thing, okay? Well, let's look at the things to learn and we'll be done. All right, number one, obviously the word is the seed. Gospel is the seed. Number two, not every heart is prepared to hear. They're just not. In fact, if I do the averages here, I'm smart like that, right? Three out of four don't produce anything. But if three out of four shouldn't discourage you to the point of stop sowing. Why? Because that's not your department. All right? That's his department. That's his work in people's lives. And when it does fall on some place that's good soil and is prepared soil. And I've reminded myself that just because soil wasn't prepared earlier, it could be now. I saw it in my own life. It's incredible. A heart that's prepared, that receives God's word, starts slow, but when it grows, it has the potential to grow like what you saw on the screen there. It's just amazing to watch. It's been amazing through the year to see the process. So what I want to share with you is don't become discouraged because of this or that, because Jesus told you what the process looked like. And when someone becomes a believer, just stand in awe of the incredible seed, right, that changed your life and that can change others. It just is amazing to me. So Jesus shared this parable with the disciples, with everybody, but the disciples wanted to know what it meant. And it wound up being a process that they could understand that one day they were going to be the ones that, because remember, the sower is pretty important. It's not real complicated what he does, but he's very important. And God has entrusted that to us as his church, to be the light, to be the sower, whichever one you use. And what that looks like is as different as you can imagine across the room. I don't know, again, being a light is as different as personality is. There are many different people here today. That's why prayer is so key. Prayer opens a person's eyes to the opportunity around them to be light. Therefore, all right, let it shine. So the seed becomes the thought. As I close today, I can't help but understand that why I wanted to share with you the process is that there may be someone here today to remember, do you want to know? Do you really want to know who God is and if he exists? And I want you to know there'll be some people up here afterwards that would love to talk to you. But guys, we don't have anything to give you other than his word. So we'll just share with you God's word and explain it simply. But remember this, okay? That they're here, and I never want anybody to come to a service that wants to talk to somebody and they couldn't find anybody. They'll be right here, right? They'll be right here. Also, too, if you're first time and you're a little nervous about talking with anybody, you can go out into the lobby and pick up one of these. And it's called Got Questions, and it has a CD, okay, of a message I did that explains the gospel in a clear way. So you can grab, there's no cost to these. You can grab one on your way out. And that's if you don't really want to talk to me, it makes sense to me. So anyway, all right. Well, God bless you. Looking forward as we continue in our